This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
All right, time to ask the question. Who are you going to get? Who are you going to get?
That's not how it goes.
Who you going to get? Who you going
to
get?
Oh, I need to add a little more to it. Who you going to get?
Yeah, you said who you going to. It's who you going to get.
Gone. Who you going?
Gone.
Gone get.
Who you going to get?
G-O-N apostrophe.
Yeah.
Gone get.
Coaching hot board season.
It's almost just one word. Gone get.
Yeah, who you going to get?
G-O-H-G-I-G.
You got to really jumble it together. Gone get. You gotta put a little twang in there.
Who you gonna get?
With some grit.
Yeah, like those guys, grit. Moonshiners.
Who you gonna get?
Who you gonna get? They're sitting around the moonshine still. Who are they gonna get? Hour number two of the Blitz is live. Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. 11:01 a.m. It is a Tuesday. It is January 19th. And hour number two is live, my friends. Broadcasting live on the radio 105.7 FM, 1340 a.m. As always, the podcast will be uploaded moments after the show. As always, the Periscope is streaming right now live on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. You can go and check out fanrunradio.com for all the latest news that you could possibly find. Let's take a look at fanrunradio.com right now, see what is on the menu. Here are your headlines. Tennessee football. Please don't screw this up. Yeah, okay. That sounds like something I'd be interested in. How about Tennessee fires Jeremy Pruitt and staff members for cause? You can get the official story there. Tennessee pulls up the anchor and ships Vanderbilt home with a loss. That is one heck of a creative title. James Harden proves that black is truly a slimming color. And then last but not least, will Triple J be able to keep his head in the game? By the way, did you guys see that video of Triple J that that post is about
from last week? He walked in. Some girl was doing some stupid stuff.
She was dribbling.
Yeah.
But I don't really know if you can call it that.
Nah, she had no athletic. She seemed like she was drunk.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. We all might have seen that a time or two. But anyway, so that's fanrunradio.com. Go check that out. Last but not least, the Fan Run Radio app. That is free to download and basically a necessity. Going forward from here on out, you're going to want to be tuned into the station at any point you get in case any kind of news happens throughout the day, so make sure you grab the Fan Run Radio app so, again, you can take the show, take the station, wherever you are headed throughout the day.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Are you all concerned about the NCAA aspect of this?
Very. But at the same time, nope. I'm not worried about it.
Because I'm not.
NCAA did us a solid. They saw Tennessee football was struggling, threw us a little bite. That's how I'm thinking about it. Hey,
well,
you need a little something to get him out of here.
Don't get a reset.
Well, I mean, I just don't think that the NCAA just doesn't hammer people like they used to. Like, well, when's the last time that the NCAA just
you're asking them to do this to us right now?
Like, it feels
well,
like Miami.
I'm sorry that I'm just stating fact.
I have seen that argument. You know, a lot of people have been saying, hey, Will Wade and Bill Self are on the sideline coaching basketball.
I'm not talking about basketball. I'm talking about football.
Miami's probably been the last real time. I mean, like,
Ole
Miss got a postseason ban.
Ole Miss got hit hard.
USC got a bunch of scholarships.
And look where they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, I'm more worried about the loss of scholarships than a potential.
You don't remember the Miami with Nevin Shapiro?
I thought they got off scot-free on that. No, I mean, maybe a little slap on the wrist.
They had to pay a lot of money.
Who cares if they have to pay money? I'll pay money.
Yeah, well, I'm
Tennessee can pay money.
I think we might get a bowl ban, but you know, what's a bowl ban isn't the worst thing ever. You lose the extra practices, but you're looking at with the new head coach. If you make a bowl, probably 6 wins. So you know, we can skip a trip to the Liberty Bowl, but it's the scholarships that I would be worried about because we're losing players. We're suffering through some roster attrition this offseason. We need to be able to build that back up. And you know, if you're bringing in 4, 5, 6 less players a class than usual, that definitely hurts.
Yeah, I totally see what you're saying there, Brandon. I guess I'm kind of undecided. I haven't.
I guess that Miami
jumped to. Right. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I guess you are right. Miami really didn't have to do much. I mean, their AD, I think he retired or got fired.
Mm-hmm. Sounds similar. Yeah.
But as far as they had a little bit of a probation, but it was really just Shapiro that took most of the weight because he was doing the Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, we can just get a little bit of probation.
A sprinkle of probation.
A little bit of scholarship reduction.
Well, the last real team.
If you have to give
us
a bowl.
A dash of transfer.
I mean, if you're talking about hammered outside of just like postseason bans and things like that, I mean, that's SMU. They're the last team that really got hammered with a death penalty.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ole Miss got hammered, though.
Yeah, like a couple years of postseason bans.
Well, they lost a lot in scholarships, and then they had to just kind of get Matt Luke, who luckily did a really good job just keeping them through it all. But
God, Tennessee needs to find their Matt Luke, don't they?
I don't think it's Kevin Steele.
No.
Let's just actually get Matt Luke.
I'd rather it be T. If they're just going to do interim for 1 year, just give it to T. Martin.
I don't think that's what they're going to do, but
I don't believe so either.
I think this whole thing about the athletic director is interesting, kind of like what Blake was talking about. And to me, it all just depends on that, right? What if their guy's not there? What if the guy's not available right away? What if this thing stretches out to a couple months? Could you basically say, all right, well, we're gonna now take a little bit of our time to make the athletic director hire. In the meantime, we're just going to carry on with Kevin Steele as interim head coach and then give this athletic director the remainder of however much time until the end of the football season to start kind of getting his candidates together.
You think Steele knew? You think Steele comes because he knows Pruitt's getting fired?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Reckless speculation? Yeah.
Yes, they can sit up there and deny it all day, all they wanted to yesterday. Yes, that's why he came here. I mean, he could have got a defensive coordinator job anywhere. Yeah, he knew.
Yeah,
and they also did put out the feeler yesterday that he will get strong consideration in the search.
Oh, please.
It's just going to be set up to Kevin Steele as head coach, isn't it?
Well,
Pulling the fleece.
I mean, that will be like a half step above bringing Jeremy Pruitt back for next year, as far as excitement goes.
Yeah.
For me.
Chance, what do you have back there behind the booth?
I told you I got you guys some champagne. Charlie, pass it around.
Look at this. A little bit of the bubbly. Chance Collins coming in the clutch today. Wow. It is a true celebration here on the Blitz. No matter how you're listening, welcome into the celebration.
It's a good day.
Charlie is passing around the champagne as we speak.
A little J-Roguette.
Here you go.
Have you ever had any of that? J-Roguette.
I'm sorry.
A little J-Roguette.
A little rosé.
Say that again.
J-Roguette. It's French.
It's actually the exact bottle that I drank when the Nats won the World Series.
That same bottle.
That wow. same one. And then, yeah, got filled back up and put in Chance's truck.
Incredible.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to Jerry Pruitt.
I mean,
no mas.
Cheers to Auburn, and cheers to the Indiana losers, and cheers to.
Why are we giving a toast
to our big wins from the Pruitt era? Because we don't have a lot to cheers to from that era, Brandon.
Cheers to that
Kentucky.
Cheers to that that dry race on the sideline that he kicked. Wasn't a good kick, though.
Cheers to taking bites out of backsides.
Cheers to asparagus that he had never had before.
Cheers to
as an grown
asparagus.
Yeah.
What's
grown
that?
Ass
yeah.
Adult.
Cheers to just really thinking about that tiger.
Cheers to cornbread.
Oh, yeah. He was into that tiger, huh?
Maybe that's what derailed the season.
Cheers to not really knowing.
He was too worried about the damn tiger. God.
He's been running a sting operation to find the tiger.
The man doesn't even know. Walks. He doesn't even know how to put on a gaiter properly.
That was the stupidest thing. I couldn't take my walk. Yes, you could have. Cheers to Jeremy Pruitt, gentlemen. I had asked this question to Blake, and I wanted to ask it to you guys as well. And you know, kind of like what we were doing just then. And by the way, coming up here at about 11:15 or 11:20, we are going to open up the hot board book, the book of hot boards. Right? We're gonna talk about all the candidates.
How do you fit a board into a book?
You just do. You just do. You don't ask questions. You just do. Okay? So that's coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. But until we get there, I'd asked this question to Blake a second ago. But when you look back on the Pruitt era, or I guess the former round two era, if you will, because ultimately they're one and the same thing. What are kind of like your lasting memories or your lasting takeaways or just the moments? Like what you're talking about there with the tiger thing, or maybe you're going on the field. Anything stand out?
The Georgia State. That's obviously going to be one that I think it's going to be on high on everybody's list.
I mean, when you say Jeremy Pruitt, how can you not immediately think of that game? And like when somebody asks you.
Follow-up, really.
Tell me about Jeremy Pruitt's time at Tennessee. No, Georgia State. Lost to Georgia State.
BYU.
It's a black. BYU, it's a little different. I mean, Grant, yeah, we probably should have won that game.
But in every moment where you needed a rebound and you just didn't get it.
I think one of the things is going to get this. I think I'm going to remember. Obviously, those things. But now, you guys seen these reports that they were just handing money out there? Or not reports, rumors. I'll say rumors because nobody's reported yet. That they were just handing money in McDonald's bags. Like, seriously?
Yeah, from some people I know.
That's what drug dealers do. Like, you gotta be smarter. It's like I can't believe they just didn't have a fall guy, like just one fall guy to.
Well, you're not supposed to have anyone on staff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you gotta have an outside fall guy that handles all this that nobody talks to.
Yeah, he doesn't come in.
he never comes around.
Can prove plausible deniability that you don't know.
You have no paper trail to this person.
I think the relationship here between Niedermeyer and Jeremy Pruitt is going to be a really interesting one in this investigation, kind of.
I don't think Niedermeyer was our bad guy either. I just think he was the guy that the bag men reported to.
And also, apparently, this is what Dan Patrick.
I
Dan
think he orchestrated the operation.
On his radio show.
Yeah, I don't think he's giving people money. I think he's planning it.
Yeah, he's really been talking about the Vols over the last couple weeks. Yeah, he's really been on it. And that's what he had said, I guess, was told to him, that they were actually handing out bags of cash in McDonald's bags.
Right. From people I know in like SEC recruiting, they've been talking about how Tennessee is careless and sloppy with their money for a while, and I thought that they were just trying to poke fun at Tennessee, but it appears pretty true.
Very sloppy, very sloppy.
Mm. Those bags rip really easily too.
I mean, we know everybody's doing some type of cheating, and like all the big programs, but we can't even cheat and win games and cheat well.
Yeah, I know that's always like a big take that goes around when somebody gets busted.
But we
for
know
cheating.
They're cheating. We but know people
like,
are cheating.
It's like, man, like, and you still have to put this season in the record books in certain categories for being the worst ever, right? And you had these shady operations going on the whole time. Something that was sloppy. Something that was shady. Something that just did not sit right. And you know, I think another interesting part of it too. And I heard this when I was listening to the 3 and Out podcast this morning. You know, and this part's still speculation, this part's still rumor, but you do kind of wonder, right? Who was maybe one of the first to talk about this all the way back in November, right? I mean, I know the people, right? The audience out here and us to an extent, you know, we all learned about this from Trey Wallace, from the outstanding reporting of Trey Wallace on that final game at Tennessee's football season when the report came out. You heard it right here at fanradio.com from Trey. Investigation has been launched at Tennessee. Like, this is going on. So it does kind of bring up an interesting question of who got the ball rolling, right? Who took the snowball, packed it up, walked up to the top of the hill, and rolled it down, and it got huge by the time that it got to the bottom of the hill. Was it a, I don't know, former quarterback who might have transferred away? Maybe one that started way too many games in his career here at Tennessee and then didn't? Was it maybe a coach? I don't know. Again, all reckless speculation, but
I think it was Jimmy Brumbaugh. I think he ordered the code red. Thank goodness.
God, they really washed their hands with that guy quick.
That's what you get when you fire coach. Was the fourth week of the season?
It was after Kentucky. It was like week four or
five. Week four.
I think
he said, "I'll show him."
I think it was our boosters. They did it on with intent to fire Pruitt, since Fulmer wasn't going to do it himself.
Do you think that? Yeah.
I hope it was Jimmy Brumbaugh, like just sitting somewhere around, like.
What if it was JG Chance?
What if JG because he got the starting position taken away from him?
Why would it be JG?
Because Pruitt
name floating around.
I know I've saw people's speculation on that.
I think
that
you
it was,
look at the timing for that speculation.
That
like,
it
hey,
was JG's dad.
We've always wondered, kind of. We've always thought that, you know, he is starting way too long. Like, what does he possibly have?
See, I don't think he does it because Pruitt was the only one who believed in him.
If Pruitt,
okay, I see what you're saying now. Maybe,
yeah,
JG was the only, maybe JG knew about all this stuff and is like, you have to start me, or else cat's out of the bag.
That's what we're saying.
Well, every single player on the team knew about it because all of them were getting paid and all of them came on visits and got paid when they came to visit.
In McDonald's bags, apparently, allegedly.
Just switch it up, like switch
in
up fast food.
Greasy
sometimes.
Bags,
yeah, maybe Burger King.
They're greasy.
And then Taco also Bell. Something Ew. That Trey reported yesterday, or that they stated from a source that he had heard, that they were also were compiling. We heard about the hotels. It was that they were compiling fake receipts on unofficial visits when you're not supposed to be paying for the visit coming in, and they were like partnering with hotels around town to like fake receipts to where it looked like the recruit. His family actually paid for the hotel visit because it was an unofficial visit. Like, talk about some sloppy stuff if all of this is true. Talk about some – Saban didn't teach him this. No way. No way. As much as he wants to be like Nick Saban. Nick Saban ain't doing it like this because he ain't
Maybe.
Got a cut.
He might have taught him, but he didn't teach him the right way. Yeah. He left out a few details. He left out a few key details.
Yeah.
The student will never become the teacher.
Well, they change the way they cheat every single year, too.
Well, I think you should. If you're going to be doing it.
Yeah.
You don't use the same people. Like, oh, man, just the ineptitude.
Chance, I know that this is the number one name that, well, at least I believe this is the number one name that's at the top of your list here. But I saw a funny tweet last night from Jason on Twitter. He said here, his son's name is Knox, is the new, his wife is from East Tennessee. In regards to which big fish are you going to reel in? People are talking Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
People are talking Hugh Freeze. People are talking Chadwell. People are talking Jim Caldwell and Adam Gase and Peyton Manning is involved.
Well, Peyton's
and
to-
if
so
we hire,
many
if,
names.
No
if we
Adam
hire
Gase. Adam Gase, I'm done.
Now, I might get behind some Jim Caldwell. Maybe.
If we hire Adam Gase, we should just change this station to country music and call it a day.
Like, Jim Caldwell could, like, I could come around on that. Like, Joe Flacco had his best playoff performance ever. He, well, you know, obviously helped Peyton Manning. If Peyton signed off on Caldwell, not Adam Gase, come on. Do not do that. Just because you had that 1 year, Peyton, with Adam Gase.
Yeah.
We've seen Adam Gase since then. We know his movies.
The list is long, gentlemen. And coming up next, right now, we're going to start getting into this list and see who we got. Who you want to go with, Chance? I got everybody. You got one guy from college? We got guys from college. You want a guy from the NFL? We got guys from the NFL. Bill O'Brien, Hugh Freeze, Gus Malzahn.
Think about the 30
Kevin
for 30.
Steele.
If Kiffin were to come back, win an SEC title.
Doug Marrone.
Bill O'Brien? I can get behind Bill O'Brien.
It'd take me a little bit, a couple months.
I can get behind Bill O'Brien.
He did. He definitely rebuilt Penn State after the Sandusky stuff.
I mean, they never dropped off.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, he definitely fixed that.
Jason Witten?
No.
No. Shut up.
No. All right, Chance, I've been practicing. You ready?
Yeah.
Who you gonna get?
It's better.
Okay.
Better.
That's the
you
question.
You threw the Gona in there. It just didn't make sense.
That's the question we have to answer.
It's East Tennessee.
It's been a while. I have to get my coaching search shoes back on. We got to get back in the swing of things.
Like you always got to have them on.
Yeah,
it's here.
It's
Tennessee.
Around here, two things you always keep on.
Been through four of these things now.
Your coaching search hat and your protective cup. Two things you must always keep on in order to be a Tennessee fan.
You guys want to be the flight tracking guys?
It's too soon right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm...
I'm just saying, like, you want to go ahead and, like, just prepare it to be those guys.
I don't know. I don't know if I will. But if you guys are, then I'm going to be 100%
supportive. Maybe, like, trying to sneak into the airport and see these things land.
John did
that
before.
Are you trying to copy John?
Yeah.
He did that?
Mm-hmm.
He did that for the last one. It was big
news.
It's big news.
No, it was...
I wasn't around then. I have no idea.
Was it for Pruitt that he did that?
No.
No, that was...
Well, I mean, it was...
It was
that same
that.
Coaching search.
Yeah.
But it was when we thought Gruden was coming.
Yeah, it was like when the groomers were strong.
The groomers.
It was when Curry was still AD.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, we are just a couple of years removed from that, but we have traded out the groomers, and instead we have found the humors. That's just one of the names that are being tossed around that have been
tossed around.
I do agree with Brandon there. Take it off. I don't think that that's... a viable choice.
No chance. Zero.
Brandon, I'm going to give you a couple candidates. All right.
I'll tell you the best odds after Rick does that.
There you go.
Oh, I know the odds.
You know the best odds.
Well, let's do this. Let's split them up a little bit. Let's kind of talk
you
about
got the odds.
Let's kind of talk about college guys and then maybe the NFL guys, right? Who are being looked at for the job? In terms of college guys, names being tossed around?
I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Any NFL guy, I'm going to go ahead and give it a thumbs down. Nope. I don't want him.
Well, you got Peyton at the supposedly leading the charge.
Why? Why is Peyton leading? Why is he so involved in this search? Why?
He knows how to do one thing and one thing only, and that's throw a football.
You know, there's nobody.
They do give him a lot of like power with these searches.
Do. There,
Shiano.
There's nobody that is a sheep for Peyton more than myself, but... Man, like, I don't know what is so valuable or like, what kind of influence that he is bringing unless you really do just want to go get somebody from, you know, from kind of out there who you do need some kind of influence to talk to.
Like,
or you do need some kind of convincing.
He should be the closer. Like, he should not – I don't want Peyton's ideas. I don't want his ideas as for a coach.
We just
want
to tell Peyton, this is our guy.
Yeah,
go bring it home.
You go talk to him.
Go close out
the
ninth.
Seal the deal.
Yeah.
Take him to your restaurant, then, you know, swing him down to your golf course, give him some of your bourbon.
Yeah. Well, like, we'll send the guy to you. We
Maybe
just
like
need you to close whoever it is. Peyton was wrapped in the center of the Shiano deal. Allegedly.
The only NFL guy I could get behind is Bill O'Brien.
Billy Boy.
But only because of his Penn State stuff, not because of anything he did with the Texans.
In terms of NFL guys, you have... Doug Marrone. You have Adam Gase.
No.
You have Jim Caldwell.
No.
You have Bill O'Brien. Am I missing any? A name that
Jeff
got...
Fisher.
Jeff
no.
Fitty Fitty. A name got thrown around yesterday. I've seen John already throw his hat in the mix. This is his guy. Gerard Mayo.
No.
No.
He's going to look at the Eagles.
It's
Belichick.
You need to have experience in the college coaching game to coach in college to an extent.
Great player in college.
I think he could be a great NFL coach right now, but maybe not a great college coach because it's not just coaching.
I love Mayo. And same thing. And
what
I
about
said
the
that
guys
kind of,
who've went to the NFL with no experience and have done well? Like, I mean,
but
coaches.
We just shot down Jason Witten.
Guys that have gone on the NFL, like,
well, I know he's not necessarily coaching as an assistant right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And
he's not coaching, and he's not like revered as like the next up and coming coach.
I will not change. I like Mayo, and there's going to be a lot of candidates I think that I like, but I refuse to change my stance that I want an experienced head coach who has been at the college level, who has won meaningful college games, who has taken a Division I team. And they have prepared them for an entire week for a rivalry game. And they have been competitive in that rivalry game. Somebody who obviously knows how to lead a program. We got off the phone a little while ago with a caller who talked. Well, actually, that was that was when we got punked by Will. But you know, Will actually said something that he wasn't too far off on. He said, "You know, we need to get a guy who can motivate." And in terms of motivating as well, I do agree with that. And leadership, like we need a guy who can be a leader. Not that these other guys can't, but I refuse to change my opinion that we need that I want a guy who has experience winning big weeks, big games in this league.
Okay. Chance, tell me the odds.
Your best odds for Tennessee's next head
Kevin
coach.
Steele.
No. Start at the bottom of the list and work your way up.
Okay.
Where are the odds?
Sportsline came up with the odds, found these at 247 Sports.
Nice.
The person with the worst odds,
okay.
Joe Brady, plus 2,500.
Well, I would take Joe Brady in a second.
Yeah.
In front of Joe Brady.
10 mil.
I mean, you say that 1 year at LSU. He had a really good quarterback. How good really is Joe Brady?
He doesn't check my experience box.
Good point.
Bill O'Brien, plus 2,200.
Okay.
He checks the box.
Jeff Fisher comes in with slightly better odds than Bill O'Brien at plus 2,000.
Nope.
No.
Next, you have Tony Elliott of Clemson.
Who that is?
No.
He's the coordinator.
OC for Clemson.
No.
Okay. Doug Marrone.
No.
And Dave Doran, plus 1,500.
No. No.
He wouldn't take it. There's no way he'd take it after what we did to him last time.
The Gus Bus.
Yeah, sure.
Plus 12.
Okay, I'll listen. I'll listen.
Bill Clark at UAB, plus 1,000.
I will listen.
Hugh Freeze, plus 800.
No chance.
In front of Hugh Freeze, you have Tom Herman, plus 700.
Okay.
No. Kevin Steele, plus 500.
No.
I think that's what it's going to be.
Jamie Chadwell is your second best odds.
Yes.
That's a thumbs up.
And your best odds to be Tennessee's next coach right now.
Do not get
any guesses.
Billy Napier.
Lane Kiffin.
I don't know.
Is it Adam Gase?
I feel like
Billy Napier has the best odds. Spent his time with Alabama, 4 years under Nick Saban.
Another Saban tree guy.
A source close to him says, though, he doesn't want to take a job that already has an immediate disadvantage built in before you play a game.
I wonder how big of a concern that
that's
is.
That's pretty
for
much
well.
Us.
Okay, see, that's the thing about a guy like Chadwell, right? Chadwell could come.
Chadwell just signed an extension to. Keep him to 2027.
Yeah, but
I know. I think he would come to Tennessee.
On this hypothetical, Chadwell theoretically could come to Tennessee, and I think you know we would give him the keys to the Ferrari. But you're right. He's playing at a disadvantage. Okay.
We are not a Ferrari.
Ferrari. You know, maybe a Jetta.
Key. We'll give him the keys.
You got a Jetta.
I don't even think we're a Jetta. We're
a Dodge Caravan.
We're a beat up,
like a used Challenger.
Well, that's like a Jetta.
With like
no, we're an old muscle car.
Nah, ain't
extent.
No muscle. Ain't no muscle. It's
with like
this is a
300,000 miles on us.
We're in 1993.
It's a Camry,
Toyota Camry.
No, because we used to be something in the day.
When? How long?
In the 90s. I wasn't there for it.
What did we say last week? We gotta stop with the 90s.
I'm just saying. I think we're a hot rod car because
we're just
of that.
The first car that was ever made.
You can't say when we won a championship, we're just an Altima.
Or a Model T.
Anyways, what were we saying there?
What were you saying?
I don't know.
You were talking about Chadwell.
You were talking about Chadwell.
Thank you. Yes.
You said you were going to give him the keys to the Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah,
and we were like, no, it's not
so
Ferrari
we'll give him the keys,
at all.
But theoretically, you could be Jamie Chadwell, and you could be looking at Tennessee, but you could be looking at the next couple of years, certainly facing an uphill battle to an extent, or... Maybe you're Chadwell, and maybe you say, hey, you know what? Things aren't really going bad at Coastal, you know, at Coastal right now. I'm going to stay put where I'm at for a year. Maybe Tennessee is – maybe there's something going on with them next year. But I got to imagine there's going to be some other big division, you know, big job at that level that's not going to carry the extra baggage that Tennessee might. And then I can still maybe potentially get into the SEC, get into one of these big conferences from there.
I'm taking Gus Bus over him. You talk about experience.
But I wonder.
Still
how many,
like your up and coming Mac
but,
guy.
But how many coaches are going to be looking at Tennessee in that light? I think especially these up and coming guys who say, you know what, I don't need to go hitch my wagon, my first big job. I don't need to go hitch my wagon in Tennessee where there is a little bit of turmoil right now, where there are some scholarship losses or things around the corner. I'm just going to wait a year. Then go take the Mississippi State job and still be in the SEC, but maybe not have some kind of violations or something surrounding it. I wonder how many coaches have that mindset looking at Tennessee right now. I think it'd be stupid not to say that that's not a factor. I don't think the fans are near as big of a deal that some people want to make them out to be. I can't stand that take. Oh, this coach wasn't interested in Tennessee because it's a rabid fan base.
I don't think that at all.
I can't stand
that. If you pay a coach enough, he's coming. The money and if the fits
right.
And
if you win, you are a god in this city. Like, we are so desperate for some kind of wins. But I do wonder about that. If I'm Jamie Chadwell, is Tennessee really?
He's a native son, Rick. He's a native son.
Just saying.
He's a native son. He values the Tennessee job. He has said as much.
I don't want Chadwell. He's gimmicky. He's not. He's in over his head.
Who
cares? He would not be a good coach here.
I don't care if he's gimmicky. I just want to win.
I don't think he's going to win.
Who do you think's going to win? Nobody knows who's going to win.
Gus Malzahn would win here.
He's
beat Saban.
I will not accept anything else for a head coach except a guy who has been successful at the Power 5 level at some point in his lifetime and or has been at a mid-major but has been consistently
Malzahn's
ranked.
Malzahn's went to a national championship, too.
Who are you going to get that has that, that views your program as worthy of going to? We have to get out of our minds that Tennessee is a top-level job. It is not. As fans, we may view it as that, but to coaches and people nationally, it is not. I don't know who you're going to get that has power, that's won at the Power 5 level, that's going to want to come to Tennessee.
I mean, that narrows it down quite a bit, but you're looking at like a Gus Malzahn, maybe a Bill O'Brien, maybe a Tom Herman, and then I would throw Luke Fickell in there. He didn't let me finish, but I said, or a guy that has been consistently in the top 15 or been to a New Year's Six Bowl out of power or group of five.
Again,
so.
I think you're looking at a guy maybe who is more experienced, or at least maybe that's where I think they would lean, simply because, again, if I'm a young and upcoming coach and I got my whole entire career ahead of me, and maybe I'm one of these guys who hadn't even, you know, broken through the floor that is the SEC or one of these big Power 5 conferences, is this really the first job that I want to put my name on the map with? With a little bit of an uphill battle, with not being able to recruit the way I want to because of some other administration's issues.
Shoot, maybe we should just go with Kevin Steele for 2 years, get us over out of this year or two.
They're probably going to do that. Go
get us out of this, and then...
If I had to make a prediction right now, I don't know if it's way too early, but if I had to make a prediction right now, I do think that Kevin Steele. But I'd like to be wrong. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows where this thing is going to go? It's been a wild day. Not to mention, we still got a basketball game tonight. The number 6 Tennessee Volunteers play tonight. We'll get you ready for that game. Don't go anywhere. All right, gentlemen, I have a little bit of a prop bet for you guys in regards to the Tennessee basketball game tonight. And this is just from my own brain, so maybe we change the line a little bit if we want to. But over under 5.5 minutes for them to mention the Tennessee football investigation on the basketball broadcast tonight. Over under 5.5 minutes.
I will take before tip-off.
What was your over under 5.5 minutes?
All right, should I lower it?
Who's on the call? If it's Tom Hart, it's immediately.
Is this a...
You're talking about like them mentioning the...
Yeah. Like, all right, we're... Stuff on the broadcast. Where's the game? Is it...
It'll be under...
It's in Gainesville.
It'll be
like,
under.
You know, Tennessee basketball team traveling here, although they got some crazy stuff going on back home. Oh, yeah, the football team.
It'll be under 5 minutes.
I'll say after or later than 5 minutes.
So you're going over.
Yeah, just because it's on the road. If it was here...
Immediately.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like Rick said, I could hear him say, well, you know, it's a good thing this Vols basketball team's on the road because back home things are a little wild in Knoxville.
That's how I think they're going to bring it up. Yeah. Tennessee traveled here last night, you know, escaped a little bit of the chaos going on as their head football coach has been fired from the football team.
I mean, I think they'll mention it, but I don't think it'll be first 5 minutes.
All right, so you're going over.
It is a basketball.
Let's make a bet.
I mean, it is a basketball
game. I'll go over as well, and you both are going under.
Actually, the fact that it's on ESPN 2 or ESPN instead of SEC Network does kind of change things now that I think about it. But I'm still going to go with the under.
Okay. Yeah,
under.
There you go. There's a line. We'll see who wins tomorrow. But besides that, Tennessee, Florida tonight, basketball.
It's on ESPN. It's on the big one.
It's on
not
the big
two,
boy.
Not
big
the dose.
Boy Network.
Yeah, I corrected myself.
No. Yeah.
I just heard you. Sorry.
Big Boy Network, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, ESPN. Tennessee, a 7-point favorite going into the game. 65.8% chance to win this game, according to the ESPN matchup predictor.
Oh, Rick. Bump that up.
Bump it up.
Bump it up.
Bump it up.
It's bumped. I don't know what to tell you. I bumped it. It's now at, where do you want it?
Higher.
92?
Not that high.
84? 86?
No,
84.5.
I'd say between 80 and 85.
I think you should bump it up like 3.2%.
All right, I'm going 84.2. Final answer.
I mean, I'll take it.
But why? Are you saying that because you just believe in the team, or is there a little bit of news that might accompany that?
Scotty Lewis is out.
Out.
With COVID.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Get well soon.
Scotty.
And that is that's one of Florida's key players, is it not?
It is. He averages 11 points per game, 4.5 rebounds per game. He will not be available tonight due to COVID protocols. Let me see if I can find Will Warren's tweets.
Scotty Lewis is a guard as well, who's averaging 30 minutes a game, which is second most on their team. So certainly this is a guy that they're used to having on the court. They're used to having a big factor in the game and their fourth leading scorer. So, yeah, hopefully Tennessee can really take advantage. Hopefully that kind of propels you over the top. Tennessee heading into this game 10-1, Florida 6-4.
From our good friend, friend of the station, Will Warren.
Yep.
He quote tweeted John Rothstein's tweet about Scotty Lewis being out. Huge news for tonight's Tennessee-Florida game. Gators are playing at the level of roughly the 16th best team in America when Lewis is on the court versus 80th best team when he's off the court.
Oh, my goodness.
That is a massive difference. So has he been out for a little while now? Because they've had a very bad stretch of games lately. They've dropped 3 out of their last 4.
I'm not sure when the last time he played was.
Okay. Let me see. So they've played both Mississippi's and then Kentucky. Either way, any more thoughts about this game? I mean, another game where Tennessee should handle business. Yeah, he's only played in 8 games so far. He's missed their last 2. He's missed their last two games.
I hope Eve Pons just swats a ball out of the air so aggressively tonight.
Pops the ball.
That it flies into the stands and breaks one of the cutouts just right in half.
Nice.
Decapitates it.
That's even better.
Hopefully so.
Unless it's one of the dog ones. I don't mind.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for like a college kid one. Mm. Do they have one of those?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
I just hate Florida so much.
It's weird that it doesn't really necessarily feel like a Tennessee-Florida basketball game. Not that that's always been the most get-you-out-of-your-seat rivalry game, but, you know, Tennessee-Florida is always a big matchup. Tennessee, hopefully, should be able to handle business in every fashion tonight, just like they kind of have. I'm interested to see if they continue to use the same lineup. I'm interested to see if Tennessee can put this game away to an unattainable reach for Florida. And just like last game, you're able to get some more of those bench guys a little bit more minutes. But otherwise, I expect the normal 6-man rotation. I expect maybe Anasicki and Kamwa to, you know, get maybe somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes apiece. And then we'll see where things go from there. But should be a good win. Tennessee moved all the way up to number 6, so act like it, win like it, and then we move on to the next game.
Which is Missouri.
Yep.
On Saturday.
And that is a rematch. They will be trying to avenge that 20-point loss from the opener of SEC play. So either way, there is that 7 o'clock p.m. tonight, ESPN, Tennessee, Florida. We'll have the breakdown for you tomorrow on the show. Otherwise, we're heading into our final segment of the show today. It's going to be closed out with a bang. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz.
almost like.
How did you know that?
It's like it's French cuisine.
You know. You just know things.
Yeah, I guess.
It's also National Popcorn Day.
Kettle corn or regular?
Regular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be weird.
Mad man.
Don't be weird. See you tomorrow.